Beginning the first Sunday in May, Bible Believers Fellowship will be heard here three times each weekend, Saturdays at noon, and now Sundays at noon, as well as Sunday nights at 9:30 p.m. Our messages are always available on KJVBibleBelievers.com. So listen to Bible Believers Fellowship anytime online at KJVBibleBelievers.com, as well as Saturdays and Sundays at noon, and Sunday nights at 9:30 p.m., right here on 91.5 Freedom FM. Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the conclusion of our two-part message on the death, burial, and resurrection. Part 1 explains the importance of this study in light of our efforts to present Christianity in its true historical context. And Part 1 also covered the day of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, which was Wednesday, Nisan 14, according to the Jewish calendar. And we believe that was in the year 30 AD. This message was presented on what the mainstream churches sadly call Easter Sunday. If you haven't already listened to Part 1, please do so in order to understand why it is false to claim that Jesus died on a Friday. And even if he did, the anniversary would not fall on a Friday every year. This and several other important matters were established in Part 1 of this message. We also want to remind you that these messages are available in MP3 format and viewable on a streaming video player free of charge and at your convenience. Simply visit KJVBibleBelievers.com and you will find literally hundreds of free audio and video messages at absolutely no charge to you. With that introduction, we encourage you to have an open King James Bible if possible. As we join our study in progress, this is part 2 of 2, the death, burial, and resurrection.
So that's a real place there. Now, the second column would be Nisan 15, and this was a high Sabbath. Now, the reason that's important to understand is because the Bible says that there was a Sabbath the day after the crucifixion. That is the only real reason why a lot of people claim that he died on a Friday. Because Saturday is Sabbath, seventh day, right? The problem is they, a lot of these guys don't know their Bible. And they don't understand that there was a high day, an annual Sabbath, the day after Passover, every year. And this year it happened to land on Nisan 15, which was a Thursday. And that's why there was a Sabbath mentioned immediately. And then after the Sabbath, there was a resurrection also. There's two Sabbaths in that week. And because people don't read their Bible, listen, they don't care. Okay? That's it. They don't care. If you care, you read your Bible. If you care, you turn off that TV. If you care, you skip a little golf. Amen? Yeah. He doesn't golf. I just mess with him. Yeah. And then comes Nisan 16. And I'll come back and mention some of those things on the chart in a minute. But on Nisan 16, that's the day that the Pharisees came after the high day Sabbath. They couldn't do that on Wednesday because it was time to go. They couldn't. It was dusk. They didn't have time to go seal the tomb. The next day was a Sabbath. They couldn't break the Sabbath. So then the next day, which is Friday, they actually went and asked that the tomb be sealed until the third day. Notice they didn't say for 3 days. Why? Because there's already one day down. They was in the second day. They wanted it now sealed so that on that third day, he couldn't come out. And that's why they did that on Friday. And that's also the day that the ladies prepared the spices. If you have a Good Friday crucifixion, the women couldn't have gone and bought spices because the Sabbath was starting then, and then he rose from the dead at the end of the Sabbath. They didn't have there's no shops open. There was legally they weren't allowed to purchase anything. So there's absolutely no way he was crucified on a Friday. It's just not true. And that's what they did on the non-Sabbath day between the crucifixion and the resurrection. There was only one non-Sabbath day where they could buy spices and prepare the spices, and that's the day they did it. Now there's the tomb. That's a real place. Wasn't somebody married at that tomb? The Ballards had their wedding vows done. Was it Zola Levy who actually did the
in
this area in front, right about here?
Well, actually, it was up some steps and
okay.
Flowers, and it was
gorgeous. You act like you enjoyed that. It's a real place. You can hop on a plane, go over there. Mike did. Walked in, looked around, there was nothing there. Hey, man. Came back out. He really wanted to be raptured just as he stepped out, but didn't happen. Real place. So then the seventh day Sabbath was Saturday. And of course, there was no activity. It was a Sabbath. They didn't do anything. And that's according to the commandment. And that's what happened Saturday, Nisan 17. Now, on the back of your chart, I list some of the clear reasons why a Good Friday crucifixion could not have happened. I'm not going to go over every one of these. But I just want to emphasize that when the biblical Jewish day was an evening and a morning, you go to Genesis 1, verses 5, verse 8, verse 13, it says, in the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. That's how a Jew rendered the day. Now, when the Bible says 3 days and three nights, the Bible means 3 days and three nights. If he was crucified on Friday, he was buried in the tomb with only minutes left on Friday. He didn't spend a day and a night. He spent a few minutes of Friday. Then Saturday's the only full day. And then he rose just minutes into Sunday. And you hear people say, well, the way the Jews render a day, they make Jews sound really dumb. They don't render a day that way. You can talk to Jews who, especially non-Christian Jews, because there's some Jews who are Christians who for some reason still want to defend that Friday crucifixion. If you talk to just a typical Jew, especially Orthodox, someone who still follows the Torah, and they would tell you, no, we don't render a day like that. It's an evening and a morning, and that's a day. When the Bible says that, that's what it means. And then Jesus in Mark 8:31 even said that he would be killed, and it says, after 3 days, rise again. After 3 days. Not part of a day, a whole day, and another part of a day. And so then you have different things. Like I said, I'm not going to go through each one, but those reasons on the back are worthy of being mentioned. And I also want to mention the next to the last bullet at the bottom, that Bible believers in the early church taught what you're hearing today. Okay? The Bible-believing church, from the time of the apostles until today, have taught what you're hearing today. But the Roman church, in the late 2nd and 3rd centuries, began to try to claim preeminence over everyone. And they began to persecute those who wouldn't follow their desire to have a Friday, Sunday, Holy Week every year. See, the Roman church didn't care about the facts. They cared about the money. And so if you had everybody coming into Rome and into Jerusalem, into their churches on Friday and Sunday every year consistently, the money rolled in. And so that's why they stuck to that. And so they would find churches like this meeting right here, teaching what I'm teaching right now, and they would actually persecute you. They would scatter you for simply sticking to the Bible. And it was called I always have trouble pronouncing the word, but it's quarto deciman, which is Latin for 14. Because the Bible says it happened on Nisan 14. So Bible believers said, whatever day Nisan 14 is, that's the day. And they were persecuted for being Bible believers. There's two churches in the world today, folks, and you need to choose which one you're going to be in. There's Christ, and there's Antichrist. You're going to follow the true church, or you're going to sell out and join the false church. The true church is a remnant. We're not numerous. There are a few big churches that teach the truth, but a lot of the mega churches, they're the sellouts. So if you want the big crowds, you'll go where they just teach whatever. Having itching ears, gathering to themselves teachers, the Bible says. So we set ourselves apart as Bible believers for that very reason. And then on Nisan 18, that is Resurrection Day. It was the first day of the week. I believe it was just after 6 p.m. dusk of on what we would call Saturday. Just after that, that he rose from the dead. And the reason why is because the closer you look, you'll see that the end of the Sabbath is when the Matthew 28 begins. At the end of the Sabbath. I want to look at a few scriptures. If you want to, turn to Luke 23.
Yeah, Greg, one of the things that kind of struck me too just recently was that Passover is one of those feasts where all the men of Jerusalem have to come to Jerusalem. So this whole event took place in front of the whole nation of Israel.
Wasn't yeah.
And anything that were did not see it happen and weren't calling for the
event. Yeah. Gathered everybody in Jerusalem for the event.
Yep.
Now in Luke 23. Verses 53 and 55, we begin what you can see is basically a chronology of the events that took place the week of what we call Passion Week. Beginning of verse 53, read that with me. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. The it there is the body of Jesus. He'd given up the ghost. He's dead. He took it, the body. He laid in a sepulcher where a man has never laid before. One of the interesting things about that tomb you go to in Israel, there's no evidence that a body ever decayed in that tomb. I don't know if you know much about Israel, but tombs, they are rare. The fact that that tomb had never had anybody in it before, but when they laid Jesus in there, you remember he was promised, the psalmist said, you would not let him see corruption. His body did not rot. There's no, and we have the technology today. You can see just about any time there's been a dead body anywhere, you can know it. And there's no evidence of decay, no evidence of a dead body ever in that tomb. And that says something. After Jesus rose from the dead, the people who lived in that area never allowed that tomb to be used. Because they knew that's where Jesus had laid. That is a 2,000 year testimony. That's 2,000 years eyewitness testimony. You see, when you stand before God, it isn't going to be, did you believe this vague story about stuff? No. You're going to be asked if you believed this historic event with evidence. If you care. Evidence. If you're really concerned. And you can look it up. You can compare Scripture with Scripture. You can look at the testimony. It's forensics, folks. Just like on, was that CSI and all these TV shows. I mean, you got some serious evidence. And you're going to be confronted with that if you have rejected Jesus Christ. And you stand before the Lord without having believed the gospel. And you're not going to argue. If you reject the gospel, you're going to admit. You knew. That's what's confronting everybody on Judgment Day. Continues. Read that with me. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. And the women also which came with him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how his body was laid. The day was the preparation, which was Passover. And then Sabbath was the next day because it was a high day. Sabbath, that Sabbath was, this Passover was not on a Friday. It was on a Wednesday. And there was two Sabbaths. So that's why the heading says Wednesday crucifixion, Thursday a high Sabbath. Now, this is, if you wonder why I say this is a high Sabbath, not only just doing the math, but John tells us in John 19:31. He spells it out. He says, "The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day." You see, he's saying it's not a Saturday Sabbath, it's not the seventh day, it's a special high day. You can't stick with a Friday crucifixion with that information. And so that tells us again how real this was. Now, Friday is when they prepped the spices, and then Saturday was a Sabbath, and that's why Luke 23:56, "And they said, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." You see, the first Sabbath day we looked at is a high day. This Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments. Two different Sabbaths. And then you have Sunday. Luke 24:1-3. Read that with me. "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." You realize that each account, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were given by four different people, and they give four different perspectives. And on one account, it tells that when they showed up the first time, the stone wasn't rolled away yet. And the angel rolled the stone away, and they looked in and it was empty. Jesus had already resurrected and left that tomb. They opened the tomb, moved the stone to let us look in, not to let Him out. Now, at this point, this is the second time the ladies have gone back and grabbed a bunch of people, and now they've all gone back again. And they see the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus, just like Mike and I'm sure Dave and Teresa walked in there and looked around. There was no body. Amen? And in verses 4 and 5, read that with me. "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" Continue. "He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered His words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest."
That's actually on the door. They got a sign on the door.
Is that, and then when He opens and lets people in, did you see it on the side?
When the door's closed, you see the sign.
Yeah.
And you can see Golgotha from the tomb.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, I said I'd mention this just to keep it real, folks. The 2012 anniversary is the midnight betrayal, 5 p.m. Friday. Crucifixion, 2 a.m. this Saturday, yesterday. The time of the death would have been 8 a.m. Saturday. The burial was before or by 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The resurrection will be sometime after 8 a.m. this coming Tuesday. So I want you at around 8 a.m. Tuesday to start calling everybody you know and say, "He is risen!" and hang up. Don't complicate. Call up 6:10 a.m. "He is risen!" You know. Amen. Just keeping it real, brothers. Keeping it real. That would be Nisan 14. 3790 AM. AM means Anno Mundi, which is the Jewish reckoning from the belief creation of the world. AD is Anno Domini, reckoned from the birth of Jesus Christ. You all notice they're trying to get us to change to, the common era? Is it BCE? And they're trying to get rid of Jesus out of our calendars and out of everything. They want "In God We Trust" off the money. And when you say it's 2012, they don't want you to say AD anymore. They want you to say, by the common era. And you'll see more and more of that. The Antichrist will make sure of it. Now here's why this is so important. All that stuff we just talked about, it's the only reason you have any hope. Period. Everything we talked about this morning is the only reason you have any hope. Every one of us have sinned. There's a list. I want anybody who has not done one of those things to stand. Have no other gods. No graven images. Never taking God's name in vain. Honored your father and mother every waking moment of your life. Not killing. And then Jesus clarifies that if you hate your brother without a cause, you're just like Cain. Committing adultery, Jesus said, if you've lusted after someone. I used to say of the opposite sex, but these days you can't really say that. You just got to say lusted. Steal? Never stole anything? Bear false witness? Tell a lie? Covet? If you've done any of those, it's one and done. The fact is, you're born with a sinful nature. You got a problem from birth. And then it's proven the first time you break one of those laws. You just proved you've got a sinful nature when you break one of those laws. Now you're without excuse. When you understand that you've broken that law, when you know the difference between right and wrong, that's why we say men, women, and children. If you understand right from wrong, you need to face the fact you're a sinner. And everything we talked about today is the only reason you have any hope. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians 15, I want you to read that with me. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. And that just means unless you've just flippantly said, oh yeah, I believe. There have been many people have a preacher come to their door, knock on the door, and say, oh, say the sinner's prayer, and oh, okay, well, blah, 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 blah. And they don't mean it. Listen, folks, you know your heart. I don't. You know your mind. I don't. And no one else does. But if you have not been serious with God and really believed the gospel, you're on your way to hell. You have purposely put a wall of separation between you and God because you've not taken this seriously. But if you will take it seriously and really search your heart and say, I believe this gospel. And what is the gospel? Read verses 3 and 4 with me. Here it is. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's it. You seriously, before God, believe that He died for your sins and paid the full price. He rose from the dead and conquered sin and death. And by that alone, you have eternal life. The Bible says you are saved. But if not, then not. That's how simple it is. You know, religion stinks. Because religion muddies the waters. Religion makes you think that church membership or having a title or something like that is going to help you in dealing with your sin. Let me tell you something. You sinned against God, not the religious people, not the institutions who are giving you all these false promises. You sinned against God and what He says matters. And if you sinned against God, He is infinite. Your sin requires an infinite payment. That's why you can't work for it. You can work your entire life and do the best you can, and it's still finite. You can never do enough works to pay for the cost of sin. And Jesus dying on the cross was an infinite payment for your sin. And that's why He's your only hope. He is your only method, your only way to pay for your sin. the infinite God dying in your place. And I added these verses to emphasize this is a real event. It goes on to describe all the people who saw the resurrected Jesus Christ. They all went to that tomb and saw that it was empty. And they knew that He'd been put in there and the stone had been rolled in front of it. And the Pharisees had got Pontius Pilate to bring the most powerful army in the world to bear on that stone and to seal it under threat of death if you move the stone. But he describes all the people who saw Him when He came out. It says He was seen of Cephas, that's Peter. Then of the 12, and that He was seen of above 500 brethren at one time, at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. In other words, when Paul was writing that, most of those 500 were still alive and would testify against him if he was lying. It says, but some are fallen asleep. After that, He was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time, because Paul wasn't a believer. And he didn't see Jesus at the moment of the resurrection. He didn't see Jesus during that 40 days before the ascension. He saw Jesus after Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus came back and knocked him down, Acts chapter 9, when he was on the road to Damascus. And that's when Paul saw the resurrected Jesus as one born out of due time. Real events, folks. That's what I'm getting at. Real history. A real thing that you have to deal with. If you want to be saved, if you want eternal life. And I urge you to stick with the realities. I mean, nobody likes chocolate bunnies better than me. But that's not what it's all about. Hey, I haven't seen an egg I don't like. I mean, you know, boil it, deviled, scrambled, omelet. You know, I love eggs. It's nothing against bunnies, nothing against eggs. But that's not what this is about. And neither is there a Good Friday every year. Neither is there an Easter Sunday every year. Deal with the reality that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, was in that tomb 3 days and 3 nights, and after that, rose from the dead and is alive. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this wonderful, clear. This concludes our two-part message on the death, burial, and resurrection. We hope that this study has served to excite in you a desire to learn more about Jesus Christ and the infallible King James Bible that He has given to us believers for our daily bread. The facts surrounding the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ are an important study, but none of this will benefit you personally unless you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in His finished work on the cross and the victory of His bodily resurrection as your only hope and basis for eternal life. If you would like to know more about Jesus and about the Bible, please contact us by calling 614-374-8313 and leave a message if you do get voicemail. We will return your call as quickly as possible. That number again is 614-374-8313. Or if you prefer to write to us, you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. That's P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Most of you having internet access will want to visit us online at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can send us an email by clicking on the Contact Us button. You have been listening to Bible Believers Fellowship. I am Pastor Greg. Thank you for listening. Thank you.